KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 40 degrees. We're looking for partly to mostly sunny skies today and a high of 76. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. A routine traffic stop early this morning in Adams County resulted in the arrest of a man and woman on drug charges. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports a vehicle was pulled over at around 12:15 a.m. in Corning. Following an investigation, the driver of the vehicle, 20-year-old Timothy Graves of Fort Dodge, was taken into custody on an active warrant for violation of probation, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia. His passenger, 19-year-old Raja Tani of Eagle Grove, was arrested for possession of a controlled substance. Both were booked into the Adams County Jail and held pending further court proceedings. The Union County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday 34-year-old Kristen Jan Gross of Des Moines was arrested Monday evening at the Ringgold County Sheriff's Office. Gross was arrested on four Union County warrants for failure to appear on drug violation charges. She was being held for Union County in the Ringgold County Jail on $27,300 bond. Atlantic City Administrator John Lund Wednesday updated the City Council on the budget process. Lund said that a lot of work on the budget has already been accomplished.
I've been kind of surprised. The operating budgets are actually not looking that bad. It's been my concern in the past few years. The trouble has been with the capital projects. Basically, this year I've been spending a lot of time analyzing Atlantic's historic budgets between 2000 and 2015 so that I can build more accurate long-term trends and forecasting. And I continually am asking myself, is there ever a point that I'm predicting within, the future where our operating or capital budgets are going to kind of hit a breaking point with its current revenue stream where we're going to be end up spending more money than we're taking in?
Andy said another area of concern is debt capacity.
At the end of this fiscal year, which will be this coming June 30th, the city will have paid off our 2011 bond series. We borrowed $2.1 million a couple of years ago, and it's been sitting in a bank and waiting for the payoff date, and we'll pay that off all this June. So that will be bringing our debt capacity down. And I've spoken with Brenda. Her numbers are in, and total assessed value for the city of Atlantic is $352 million. The state says that you can borrow money up to 5% of your total assessed value, which is about $17.6 million.
The Brenda he was speaking about there was Brenda Nelson, Cass County Assessor. Now, the city currently has eight outstanding debts amounting to $13.5 million, which Lund says puts us at a debt capacity of 77%. That will drop slightly to below 75% by the end of the fiscal year. The eight remaining debts, he says, will fall off in clusters in 2019, 2026, 2028, and 2035. The YMCA debt, which is a revenue bond, will be paid off in 2024. All factors considered, Lund says the bottom line is that the city needs to watch its spending practices.
The city's days of borrowing money for a good while will be over after this next bond in the spring. We can do revenue bonds. That's an option. But I'm warning the council that anything that's not tied to property taxes is really, really risky.
Councilman Gerald Brink said the answer is more new construction, but Lund says that comes with a caveat.
That would help, as long as that didn't result in us having to borrow money to help finance the construction. And as long as the new construction is getting the taxable value on the books, if we offer incentives like tax abatement, we're long delaying any of the benefits the city itself sees. It's good for the business and it's good for the property owner for sure, but it doesn't do anything for the city for an extended period of time.
But it isn't an investment in the future.
Yeah, it's an investment in the future.
Elsewhere in the news, U.S. Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska says he's seeking answers from the Department of Veterans Affairs following reports that VA employees kept a secret waiting list of patients from Nebraska and Iowa that obscured the actual wait times for veterans who sought appointments. Sasse sent a letter to the department this week after the Omaha World-Herald reported that an audit included whistleblower complaints about unauthorized lists for appointments at the VA's mental health psychotherapy clinic in Omaha. VA officials acknowledged the audit's conclusions, but wouldn't say how many Nebraska or Western Iowa veterans were affected. They also declined to say who kept the unauthorized list and why, or say how many employees were involved. Sasse said the agency's refusal to answer questions is unacceptable and must be remedied immediately. You're invited to join the Iowa Department of Aging in Creston this October 25th for the final session in its 2017 Dialogue on Aging series. The topic for the event is technology in aging, improving the quality of life and care for older Iowans and adults. And it will include thought-provoking presentations by speakers representing the University of Iowa Barbara and Richard Somme Center for Gerontological Excellence and the Iowa State University Gerontology Program, Human Development and Family Studies Program. Lunch is included and will feature the recognition of Iowa's centenarians, those who will be 100 years or older by December 31st. The cost to attend is $25 per person, and to securely register, you can find the link under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Americans across the country are grappling with unanswered questions as they prepare to select their health insurance plans when the new sign-up period for the Affordable Care Act begins in 2 weeks. The uncertainty is especially pronounced in Iowa, which is seeking last-minute federal approval to revamp its insurance market. The confusion, of course, is also coming from Washington, where President Trump is pushing to allow the purchase of stripped-down coverage plans and has moved to cut off subsidies that help keep people's insurance costs down. In Iowa, the Navigators and others whose job is to help people understand the healthcare market are not sure what to call or what to tell the callers who call them and wanting to know what to expect. The Iowa City Council has voted to make smoking, chewing tobacco, and e-cigarette use illegal in all of the city's parks. The council voted 6-1 on Tuesday to finalize the ban. Clay Clausen, chairman of the city's Parks and Recreation Commission, says the ban was a public health issue. The city already has banned smoking in some parks, but hadn't extended the restriction to chewing tobacco until now. Iowa City Council Mayor Jim Throgmorton opposed the ban, saying that smoking was already prohibited in many of the city parks. While springtime is the worst time of year for many Iowans who suffer from allergies, thousands are also struggling this fall with sneezing fits, itchy eyes, and running noses. Allergist Dr. Liana Oswald says about one in every four Iowans have seasonal allergies, which are spiking now as the leaves start to change color and drop.
While we know that about 76% are going to experience symptoms in the spring, fall is the next most common allergy season. There's a lot of change in season, a lot of change in pollen counts, and a change in the weather often for a lot of different states across the nation, which can kind of for patients who suffer from seasonal allergies, start those symptoms up.
On the plus side, it's much easier and cheaper now to keep seasonal allergies under control with medication.
Over the past 10 years, we've seen a lot of shifts of medicines go over the counter. So you used to have to get prescriptions from your doctor. Now patients are able to access these over the counter in their pharmacies, grocery stores, and other retail outlets.
It may be difficult on sunny fall days when temperatures are in the 60s and 70s, but staying inside can be a big help for allergy sufferers.
The number one tip for seasonal allergies is to avoid the allergen. Everybody has to breathe, so that's difficult to do. But if you can limit your time outside, keep your windows closed when pollen counts are up. The average consumer can definitely use Google even now to check pollen counts by typing their city and the words pollen count afterwards to know if those counts are going to be higher.
She suggests making an effort to keep your clothes pollen-free and to shower often. Also avoid drying clothes on a line outside, as the pollen, like ragweed, can stick to those clothes. Change your clothes after you've been outside, and taking a shower before bed will also help to keep allergens out of your hair, your body, and out of your bed. And parts of the country along the coasts have been battered this year by Mother Nature, and a new study from Midwest Economic Policy Institute warns that the threat of climate change extends much farther inland and could wreak havoc on transportation and infrastructure systems across the Midwest. Study author Mary Craighead says policymakers need to understand the potential costs and consequences of climate change and adds that they need to be proactive to protect communities and the economy. Her report says the average air temperature has increased by more than 4 degrees since the 1980s, and there's been a 27% increase in the number of days of very heavy rain since the 1950s.
The higher temperatures and the stronger storms can reduce the lifespan of roads, bridges. They can cause railways to buckle. Flooding obviously is a huge issue that can impact the flow of traffic, the flow of freight, which would impact our economy.
Flooding is a key issue because there has been a steady reduction in ice coverage on the Great Lakes and more frequent freeze-thaw cycles. Craighead said there have been more electricity outages and adds that the Midwest is a net distributor of electricity to other regions. Floods, high wind, ice, snow, and storms can damage facilities and above-ground transmission lines. The study is recommending limiting development in low-lying areas that already have experienced storm-related damage and updating heat and rainfall standards used in the project design process.
It's just going to keep getting worse, so it's time that we really need to stop debating it and start actually taking action and planning for it in the future so that we don't have to deal with the ramifications after the fact. We can actually plan for it ahead of time.
The study says national infrastructure needs are expected to top $2 trillion by the year 2025. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.